Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter, which we heard read earlier. Before his ascension into heaven, Jesus commanded, as you go on your way, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that he had commanded. Baptizing them and teaching them everything that he had commanded. Within the Bible's four gospel accounts, plus the book of Acts, the word disciple is used over 250 times. In the original language, the word disciple is defined as a learner. Just believe in Jesus and follow him. Learn and study at the foot of the Master. By virtue of your baptism, you are a disciple of Jesus. It was at the font that God adopted you as his own child and commissioned you as his apprentice, his learner, apprentice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who began a good work in you in baptism will bring it to completion on the last day. Well, that is, unless you decide that the cost of discipleship is too expensive. Or maybe you think the cost of disciple is too limiting to your felt needs and desires. Or it's just simply too much work. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus teaches us exactly the cost of discipleship. And it's not a specific dollar value, but it's summed up in three requirements. The first requirement for discipleship is hearing and receiving Jesus by his word and through those he sends out to preach. The second is to give up on any hope of hanging on to your earthly treasures in this present world. And thirdly, you must give up any ties to your family on earth. So how do you measure up? Well, you're off to a good start because you're here this morning. You are present-day disciples, and he has commanded you not to look back and embrace the treasures of the world or the love of your family, but to press on toward the goal of the prize of eternal life. Now, these three things are not easy requirements. For the sinful man, following Jesus does not come naturally. And it's not that we are opposed to following Jesus or we don't desire eternal life with him. But the devil, the world, and the desires of the sinful flesh tend to work their way in and divert us off onto the wrong path. In the first verse of our text this morning, St. Luke has reached a turning point in his gospel. Jesus had been preaching and proclaiming his gospel throughout Galilee, the land of the unbelievers, the Gentiles. By now he has many disciples following him, and the time has come when he must set his face toward Jerusalem. And from this point forward, any previous confrontations are going to appear insignificant. All those disciples of Jesus are going to be forced to take a closer look at what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus approached a Samaritan village, but the people refused to hear him. He had his face set toward Jerusalem. He was one of those Jews that the Samaritans despised. So the people refused to hear the gospel of Jesus simply because he was Jewish. They failed that first requirement of being a disciple. You, on the other hand, as I just mentioned, fellow disciples, you're off to a good start. You're gathered here to receive Jesus in word and sacrament. But be vigilant. Don't let down your guard. The cost of discipleship is great. Jesus went on to another village. Someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus didn't leave the glory of heaven and enter his creation to put down roots. He didn't come to plan a career or get married and raise kids or plan a retirement. He came for one purpose only, and that was to seek and save the lost. He came to travel from place to place, healing and preaching and teaching. And on his way, he depended upon the hospitality of those whom he encountered, until finally he reached his goal in Jerusalem, bleeding and dying on the cross as a penniless, destitute man. Fellow disciples, are you ready for this kind of life? This is the cost of discipleship. Being a disciple isn't just a hobby or an occasional pursuit. Discipleship is always putting Christ first and following him. So you must ask yourself, are you ready and prepared to follow him unto death? If you desire to follow and be a disciple of the Holy Son of Man, you cannot be friends with the world. You cannot build your house on the sand of this wicked and fallen world. Jesus has a permanent dwelling place for you in heaven. He has told you, he has gone ahead to prepare a room for you, and he will return to take you home. He teaches that home is where your heart is. So where is your heart? Is it set upon the things of the world? Or is it set upon the things from above? As you well know, the heart is a fickle thing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. One moment, your whole heart can be yearning and ready to follow Jesus. And the next, you're biting and devouring one another. You're craving and satisfying the desires of the flesh that St. Paul describes in our epistle text. I don't need to name them all. You heard them. You have them in your bulletin. Go ahead and go through and pick them out. You know what you have. But being a true disciple of Jesus, mark those of things to avoid. True disciples do not do those sins of the flesh that Paul describes. And you and I must confess that we have failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And at the end of the day, all we truly deserve is nothing more than eternal punishment. Yet Jesus came into this fallen creation to set you free from the law. And for all who are in Christ Jesus, for his sake, they are forgiven of their sins and promised eternal life. And if Jesus came to suffer and die so that you might be free from sin, death, and the grave, that you might have forgiveness and eternal life, well, what should you sacrifice on his behalf? What should you render to the Lord for all his benefits to you? And that's where the problem comes in. There are certain things in this world that you and I refuse to give up. Jesus traveled on. He called one man to follow him, but the man wanted to go home and bury his father first. But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Jesus is clear. First and foremost, the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Another said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Discipleship means following Jesus with a single mind. Make no delay, no matter what the reason is. as we sang in our sermon hymn, deny yourself and take up your cross. Deny your family and take up your cross and follow Jesus. So I ask you, dear disciples, are you willing to sacrifice your family's love for Jesus? Are you willing to make yourself an outcast to the very ones who bore you and love you because of your love for him? Because if you truly want to follow Jesus and the true faith, but your family does not, there's going to be division. Now, it might be polite division where everyone plays nice and gets along, or it could be hostile division. If you are Muslim and you turn Christian, your family is liable to put you to death. At the very least, they consider you dead. Now, probably you and I will never face that kind of persecution, hostility, but we never know what will happen in the future. People want to think that Jesus wants you to do anything and everything for your family, that your family should be your first priority, but that's not true either. You must not sacrifice your faith for your family. If the choice must be made, you must cut ties with family for the sake of the Lord. Now, I pray that our Lord God would never demand any of us to do this, that he would require that we cut ties with our family. But if you're not prepared to put Jesus absolutely first, then you're not worthy of discipleship. That sinful flesh is all too easily swayed by everything that sparkles, everything that shines and glitters, the things that you love, the things that you enjoy. Too easily, family helps draw you away from worship, draws you away from Bible study, and ultimately draws you away from faith in Jesus. So, dear disciples of Jesus, how do you measure up? Do you suppose you or I could do better than these gentlemen in our gospel text this morning? Well, the answer is obvious. Of course not. Jesus makes demands that go far above our human strength. Yet that doesn't mean that we should simply ignore his demands. As his chosen disciple, you must try and work with all your might for the Savior who gave his all for you. Press on toward that goal. But the truth is, you will ultimately fail. The appeal of earthly comforts, the loves of things and loved ones will eventually get the better of you. And that's what it's like to be a sinner. The human heart is fallen, and it cannot be in perfect devotion to Jesus until the sinful flesh is done away with in Jesus' new creation. That's a long time to wait, possibly. It might be this afternoon, but we don't know when Jesus will return. So, dear disciples, what shall we do then in the meantime? It's one simple word. Repent. Repent of your sins, deny yourself, and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Because of his death on the cross, for his sake, God will not give you what you deserve, but what Jesus won for you on your behalf. Our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So follow the one who suffered and died your very own death on your behalf so that you might receive forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus has already done all the work for you. And you know, we preach it over and over as Lutherans, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. But that doesn't mean we simply sit back and rest in glory in our forgiveness and ignore what God's will is for our lives. There's a cost to discipleship. St. Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's the cost of discipleship. Deny yourself and follow Jesus. He has given you the gift of Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism, and by that Holy Spirit, He empowers you to resist and flee the desires of the flesh and bear fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see, Jesus entered His creation for you. He made Himself an outcast in His own family, and not only did His earthly brothers and sisters think that He was out of His mind, they tried to stop Him from doing the Heavenly Father's will. And even His own Heavenly Father turned His back on Jesus, forsaking Him as He hung, bleeding and dying on the cross. But Jesus, having His hand to the plow, didn't look back. He didn't look back to heaven, yearning to go back to the glory rather than receive the scourge and the thorns and the nails. No, He set His face forward like flint, doing the will of the Father, sacrificing everything, even unto death, to set you free from sin, death, and the grave, so you could be His disciple. And the bottom line is, you are not a disciple because of what you do, or what you have done, or what you will do. You see, you can never do enough for Jesus. That's why He did it all for you. You are His disciple because He has made you one, commissioning you in the waters of baptism. And He didn't simply show you the right path and expect you to follow it. He didn't give you a template and say, "Here, follow the lines." No, He walked your road in your stead and for His sake declares you His perfect disciple. Because ultimately, the cost of discipleship is not what you pay. It is what Christ has paid for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.